today's title is Times of Stress. Times of Stress. These are stressful times we're living in, brethren. Don't ever forget that. We're living in times that are full of stress. Now you can say, well, in days past, they had stress the same way we do. It's not the same. We have a modern life that printer demands that we have stress, and then we do have it. This past week, I had, of course, all of you know I was in business for many decades. I thought things were pretty well settled down, and all of a sudden on the radar popped up this lawsuit that was from 7 or 8 years ago, so I had to deal with that this week. I thought I was long gone from that type of operation anymore. But it cropped up, but it isn't just with myself. It's people who are older, they have health problems, and I'm not one to stand up here and say I have all the answers to getting rid of stress. It's a big subject, it's hard to define, because we all have it. We have stress with our jobs. I talked to my ex-daughter-in-law this morning. She lost her job in January or July. But I put in my notes here, stress is a state of mind caused by the stresses of modern society around us. That's what causes it. But what really brings stress out in us, and I want you to remember this, is that when we look at this problem or we look at that problem and we begin to overemphasize that problem or this problem, and we begin to build it up in our mind, and we begin to think to ourselves, oh, this is so bad, when eventually most of them don't turn out bad. And then we pick up on the mentality, well, I'm either going to fight or I'm going to flight, you know, fight or flight mentality. I'm either going to fight this one. Now, I could have fought this lawsuit I had this past week, or I could have run from it, one or the other. And that's the way we all are when it comes to stress. We either run from it or we fight it. We meet it head on or we don't meet it head on. So it's important that just to get, to bring the subject out, just to bring it out so we can get our minds on it, but not according to what the world says, because I could go into any number of articles dealing with stress, and you could too. You can take any drug you want to deal with stress, and I could too. But if we don't deal with it in one way or another, and I'm going to deal with it through the Bible today, it will affect our mental and physical and spiritual health. So we want to remember that. So what can we do to alleviate stress? What can we do to alleviate stress in our lives? What can we do as Christians in God's church? See the water just about here? What can we do to alleviate stress? Number one, I have 3 points. Very simple. I have 12 scriptures, and when you don't have to count them, you can know when I'm getting toward the end. I have 3 points I'm going to give you out of the Bible that I feel. And I want you to know I really had to dig deep to get these 3 points out of the Bible. 3 points. The first one is this, how we can alleviate stress. Number one is to become God-centered. To become God-centered. That means our whole life centers around what God says in the Bible, what God tells us to do. God-centered. Now, I want to start in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. I think this was read in maybe by Lonnie or Mr. Black. It doesn't matter. I'm going to hit it from a different direction. Being God-centered, one. I'm going to read this 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Let's read it together. But know this, that in the last days, I think that's verse 3. Yes, it is. I put 1 through 5. It should be 3 through 5. But know this, in the last days, Perilous times have come. Perilous, if you look in your margin, it says stressful times. In the last days, they will come. They will come. For men will be, well, as we go through these points, think about it. Often we read the scripture and we say, well, that's the way the world is. Well, no, I don't agree with that at all. Because I made a study on this once. He's talking to the church just as well as to those in the world. So these types of things can come up in the church, in their minds, and they become becomes harder to be God-centered. Because when you look at them and you understand them and you put your heart and mind into each one of them, not here, because you wouldn't be listening to me, it says in verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, I'll cover that a little later on, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Now, if somebody's disobedient to parents, to young people, does that bring stress in the family? Sure it does. If you're unforgiving, does that bring stress? Yes, it does. When we got together on Thanksgiving, if we got in a big argument and things happened and we had some animosity toward one another, wouldn't that bring stress? Sure it would. So he says these are stressful times. They're perilous, but in the margin it says stressful. Read on here. Unloving. I'll put in there unholy. I don't see that as something I can identify with that. Unloving, unforgiving, slanders without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. We have the power to become godly. But he says you can have a form of godliness, but you can deny that power that we have through the Holy Spirit. I put in my notes here, stress is relieved when our lives are lived as if we were in the presence of God at all times. I want you to remember that. It can be relieved if we live our life as if we were living in the presence of God at all times. So remember that in Titus 2, he goes a little further. Titus 2, verse 11 through 13. Excellent subject. Stress. I've often wondered what people say, I'm all stressed out. What do you mean? Just getting up in the morning, going out in the world is a stressful thing to most people. If you're not, I don't know what's happening to you, but in Titus 2 in verse 11 through 13, let's read that. He goes on to again, having this dealing with being God-centered. God-centered is a quick way to getting rid of stress. It's Titus 2 verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us now, that's what the grace of God does, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So we're to live a certain way to be godly people to relieve stress. But he says, denying ungodliness, denying the way we live that brings stress to us, and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in the present age. In the present age, verse 13. You know what, I gotta be honest with you, I gotta even let you in a little secret. I had some teeth put in down here. I put that Polydent in there, and it dries my mouth out, it makes me mad. So if I started ripping things up here, you know what's wrong with me. Or I started drinking water, more water. I need more water up here. I'm choking, dries my mouth out. Anyway, you can move on. Dealing with stress, all right? God-centered people. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us and he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That's how we become godly people. We're zealous for good works. It said godly, I put in my notes, godly people set a goal every day to live a God-centered life, knowing and understanding that God is there. He's living in our presence, even with all the stress the world puts on us. Even with all the stress the world puts on us. Now, you might look up here and you say, well, that guy, he's retired. He doesn't have any stress on him. Or maybe Jim Imsdahl or the rest of the guys in the back or young people. You don't have stress, do you? Oh, sure you do. We all have stress. But if we live, young and old, a God-centered life, we will relieve that stress. We will relieve that stress, no matter what the world says, no matter what it puts upon us. Let's go further. 1 Peter 1, verse 14 through 16. We're moving right along here. 1 Peter 1, verse 14 through 16. Let's read that. Keep it in mind now. We want to get rid of the stress by living godly lives. Living godly lives. Verse 14 of 1 Peter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not conforming ourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance or before you were called. You had more stress on you. I was praying this morning in the front room. Tears started running down my eyes because I remembered back when God called me out of this world. And what I felt like and what I was in this world, who I was. All of you can relate to that. You should be able to relate to that, the way we were. In our ignorance, we were like that. We didn't understand. We didn't have God on our side to really understand. What does it take to deal with this world we live in? How far do we have to go? We don't have to go any further than our Bible or our kneecaps to deal with this world and deal with it. We will have stress. I'll have stress. And as I said earlier, you might look and say, oh, he's out and running now. He doesn't have stress. He doesn't have to work in his marriage. Don't ever be fooled with that. He doesn't do any of that. He's not under any stress. I'm young. I'm dealing with the world. We all have it. And that was when we were in our ignorance, it was worse. Verse 15, but it is he who has called you is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct. Conduct. God-centered people. Because, he says, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. For I am holy. He says, be holy. So I take that to mean the key to alleviating stress is to have this goal. To have this goal, brethren, that we live by. Be holy. Do the best you can to be holy. To have a godly presence in your life. For I am holy. To have that goal in our life is critical. That we have that goal in our life. We're to become holy. We want to become holy in God's sight. We don't want to live this life according to our own mentality. So that's the first point. God-centered people have less stress. Have less stress. Point number two, use the Word of God as a guideline to handle stress. Use the Word of God as a guideline to handle stress, okay? In Hebrews 4, in verse 12 and 13, it tells what the Word of God does to our thoughts and our emotions and our headaches and being all stressed out in the world. Hebrews 4, in verse 12 and 13. Verse 12, for the Word of God, the Bible, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's a discerner of the intents of the heart. If I could have got a hold of that guy who brought that lawsuit up against me, my Christian attitude went down to zero. But I want to learn to be a discerner of the intents. Why would I do that? I'm going to end up paying a lawyer, which I learned a long time ago. Nothing against Jonathan. He isn't here, is he? I don't think so. Why would I pay an attorney when he gets done? I got sued a few years ago when I was in business. The lawsuit was for $39,000. I think it ended up paying him $49,000 or something like that. The attorney. Well, I looked at that and I thought, oh my, I was over at William and Mary School of Law over there. They were debating what, you know, negotiating this debt. And they thought, wow, what are we doing here? So I went up on the blackboard and I started writing, and this lawyer was behind me. He said, what are you writing there? I said, the falsity of this legal system that we live in. Well, how did I get off on that? What does that have to do with my sermon? Hebrews 4, verse 13 is a discerner, that's what I was getting at, of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. A discerner. My oldest son, he said the other day, he said, Dad, I have one goal in life. I want to be able to discern the intents and thoughts of my heart. He said, you're spot on. I put in my notes here, the Word of God deals with our whole thought process, the whole thing. From top to bottom, it deals with everything. Don't leave the Word of God out of your decision making. You want less stress in life? Don't do that. Just do not do that, because it won't work. You want to go to a lawyer, that won't work, I'll tell you that much. Word of God deals with our whole thought process. Now, Jesus even covered this in Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40. Keep moving on here. Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40. There the Sadducees, or whoever this was, or the Pharisees, one or the other, they asked Christ in verse 36 of Matthew 22, Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you should love the Lord your God. I wonder what they thought when he said that. And with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That pushes man out of the picture. If he wants to know what have we, Jesus would tell him to love your God. In verse 38, this is a person, great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Here comes man into the focus. In verse 40, he says, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. All the law and the prophets. Don't have to go much further than that. But the reason I'm bringing that out, I had in my older Bible that I had all these notes, and I do have all those notes in there. Yeah, I put in there, it must be a love toward God that dominates all our emotions and directs our thoughts and our actions. Let me repeat that. It should be a love toward God that guards our thoughts, our actions, and our emotion. It dominates. It's pretty simple, really. You want to relieve stress? Go to the Bible. Stay close to God. You won't have the stress. I will literally guarantee that. I hope anybody isn't taping this or something. It's not no new doctrine, I know that. But if you want less stress, plain and simple, every week we say, study your Bible, stay close to God. Go back and look at your calling, like I did this morning. Go back and look at it and understand it. Where did you come from? Where are you going? Get some understanding in our emotions. Don't let this world take you off in another direction. I could have done that the other day. Oh, I was so mad at him. My hand was just shaking, but I just suppressed my feelings, you know. The lawyer, when he called me, he said, well, we're going to get you. We're going to get you. I said, oh, okay. Join the crowd. Join the crowd. Come and get me. I got my armor on. And I had no problem. My children were calling me and said, Dad, how did you handle that? You're this old. I only allow Corey to hold him because he puts in the right frame of mind. But they were asking me, how did you deal with that? How did you deal with it? I said, I got in my old work mode. And when I do that, I went back to my work mode. Because this is what I did for four decades or five. I dealt with people like this. I'm coming to get you. Well, I could have been so bad. I could have been so stressed out. I'd have been in the whiskey bottle, you know, and just pouring them down, you know, instead of sitting back there and saying, how can we deal with this? Okay. So it turned out fine, just to let you know. I put in my notes here, a person is not stressed out when they allow the Word of God to deal with their emotions. Deal with their emotions, because we're emotional people. We have a fight or flight mentality when it comes to stress. We don't like stress. It keeps us up at night. We have to get them drink hot milk, you know, to sleep nights. We don't like it. If I talk to any one of you people sitting here, you brethren, none of you, young people, you don't like stress. I mean, you don't like stress. None of us do. It's hard on us. It makes our heart pound. It just pounds. I often lay in bed at night and wonder if I was under a lot of stress, my heart, you know, it'd skip a beat, that electrical part of the heart doesn't come right. And I think, oh, here it is, here it is. You know, here's that stress, that's what it did to me, caused my heart to skip a beat. Well, let's move on, 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 through 17. Keeping in mind, let the Word of God work with you and lead you and guide you when you have a problem so you don't get stressed out. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 through 17. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 through 17. I think Gary Black might have read this also. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 through 17. Verse 15, 2 Timothy 3. And that from a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all Scripture. All Scripture, not just one Scripture, or this Scripture, or that one. All Scripture. And one time I read it, it's all God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration, and it is profitable for doctrine, but not only for that, brethren, not just for doctrine, for everything else. He covers it here. He says, for reproof. I don't remember what that was for. I think if you get off track, then you can come back on. That was reproof. I think that was in Barclays. You get off track. It's profitable when you get off track that you come back on track. You get all stressed out about something, you got to get on track. You can't stay that way. Allow the Word of God to bring you back on track. That's what the Scripture does. And then he says, goes on, for correction. Maybe the Bible will correct us, brethren. Maybe we need correction. Do you ever think of that? Maybe we need to be corrected. Maybe somebody has to tell us you're going the wrong way. Get off the phone with that guy and start handling it in a godly manner. In a godly manner. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So it settles us down. That's what it does, basically. It does for me, anyway. And I pray it does for you, too. I hope you do this. I really hope you'll do that. Take the Word of God and let it deal with your emotions. You younger, too, younger people in here. Don't try to do it on your own. I'll read that here in a minute. Which one do I want to read? Proverbs 3 here. I'll read this. In Proverbs chapter 3, and that was read, I don't know, just a couple of short weeks ago, in verse 3 through 6, it says, in Proverbs 3, verse 3 through 6, I'll give you a minute to get there. Proverbs 3, verse 3 through 6, says this, in verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. And I speak to the younger generation in this manner when I speak from the heart when I read this. Because this one should be able to, I actually memorize these verses, should keep them in our heart and mind. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. You write them on the tablet of your heart. It means get serious about what you're reading and what it can do for you as a human being. This is an ugly world we live in, but it can be handled. It can be handled in the right way. He says, and so find favor in the high esteem in the sight of God and man. Here's a critical, critical verse. Critical. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Please do that. Please do that. Don't lean on your own understanding to solve a problem. I'm saying to you, I don't want to say I'm telling you, I'm saying to you it won't work. Not in this world we live in today. We need to be God-centered. We need to let the Word of God direct our emotions and our guide our thinking and our reasoning and lean not on our own understanding. This is the Bible that says this. You can't get any clearer than that. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't do it, is what he's saying. Solomon is saying there, do not do it. Do not do it. Verse 6, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your steps. Go to a concordance and see where there, how many times that's written down. Do not trust in your own thinking. We're human beings with a carnal human nature. No matter what age you are, we're human beings with a carnal human nature. And that human nature is so ugly sometimes, it just drives you up a wall pretty near. Do not lean on your own understanding. Point being made. Put more trust in God than ourselves. Put more trust in God than ourselves. Don't trust yourself, brethren. Do not do that. Do not trust your own thinking when it comes to problems and dealing with stress. Lean on the Word of God. I put here human reasoning, which that is, human reasoning, when we say we want to do it ourselves, causes stress. Human reasoning causes stress. When we think we got it all figured out, we don't. We don't. The minute that phone call was called the other day, Colleen and I got on our knees in the front room and we said to God, give us wisdom to handle this situation. Give us wisdom. My voice was shaking. I was so serious about it. The first place we went was to our knees. And we said, give us wisdom. Don't let us figure it out ourselves. And it worked out just fine. When I got up from there, I said, one day I'll have it done. And the end of the day, it was done. God says, do not go it alone. Lean on your own abilities to take on a problem. And James deals with wisdom in James 1, verse 5 through 8. We're moving right along. James 1, verse 5 through 8. James 1, verse 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, if any of you, brethren, lack wisdom, or Don Erickson, you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives it to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You can bank on that. You can set your heart on that. I'm telling you, you don't have to worry. Worry leads into anxiety, which leads into stress. And then somebody would say, I'm all stressed out. Well, I have a way to get help with stress. Go out and put on a pair of running shoes and go run 3-4 miles. That'll take the stress out of you, and especially if it's below zero. You know, you don't have a mask on or something. your lungs freeze up on you or something like that. But if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Don't ask somebody else. I mean, you can go to get counsel from somebody else. I'm not saying that. But ask God for the wisdom and who to go to. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith. Let him ask in faith, no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave in the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double man, unstable in all his ways. So my preaching this afternoon is to help us to be stable, not unstable. So we ask God for wisdom. We don't lean on our own understanding. We let the Word of God take over for us and take our emotions and deal with them. And then we become stable people. Is that not easy to understand? I would say, number one, it is easy to understand because we hear it in different ways every week. Study your Bible, stay close to God. Study your Bible, stay close to God. I am saying today I'm going a step further. If you want to have peace of mind, and you want to have contentment, I'll get into that in a minute, you cannot have stability without responding to the Word of God. Let me repeat that. You cannot have stability without responding to the Word of God, brethren. That means when the Bible says it, respond to it. And you won't have as much stress. You won't have as much stress. This is not a pie-in-the-sky sermon. I'm too old for that. Oh, you did that when I was younger, but I don't do that anymore. I am saying to you, the Word of God gives us stability to deal with stress. It does. Matthew 4, let's go back there. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3 through 4. Here's Christ speaking to Satan now, talking about responding to the Word of God. Why shouldn't we do that? Well, Christ did it. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, he says, now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, now here's his response. If it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Bingo. You have to go any further than that. Responding to the Word of God. We're to live by every word of God and then respond to it. Okay? If we want to have less stress put on, we must respond to the Word of God. Biblical standards, the Word of God requires us to have, will bring us stability. That's what we want. That's why I'm up here preaching, teaching or whatever you want to call it. We want stability in our lives. We're living in a modern world, brethren. My grandson bought me a new computer. It's just like Greek to me. I'm living in a modern world. No, I have to learn that computer. We want stability while we're doing that. We want to be stable. We want to have our feet in the ground. That's my favorite saying now. We have our feet in the ground. You have your feet in the ground. I meet somebody that say, well, he's got his feet in the ground. Colleen asked me this morning, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, he's pretty stable, you know. He's got his feet in the ground. I didn't say he's stable. All right, that's the second point now. Allow the Word of God to help us along, to bring us peace and stability. Point number three, and the last one is this. Point number three, do not put too much emphasis on physical things. I want to read that so slow that it sinks into our minds. Do not put too much emphasis on physical things. Do you know what that is? Who's talking to us? That's the ego we have. And I always thought, as I thought about that subject of ego, I actually looked into the Bible. That's satanic. That's the part that Satan is in there. He's probing her way. He knows where to get to you. You go out somewhere and you see something you like. This is the way the ego works. And you say, oh, I need that. I need that. Oh, boy, wouldn't that be nice to have? Ego is based on consumption, consuming things, physical things that we want. My point is, do not overemphasize that. We can buy things, we can want things, but to overemphasize those things is what's going to bring us stress. And oh, does the ego give us stress? Does it give us stress or doesn't it? Think about it. Your ego. I want to be something. I want to look this way. I want to do something. Now all of you are coming to you, hey, you got a new jacket on there. Where'd you get that? Well, I just bought it here a few months ago. But I'm not talking about a balanced approach to having stuff and things. You know, I heard about, well, it doesn't matter, it was a month or two ago, that in Germany, one out of every 20 people have a credit card. One out of every 20. Now, you can say, well, that isn't what I heard. This is what I heard on the radio. They have a strong economy. Their people are strong. One out of 20 have a credit card. I have seen people bring out their billfold at a grocery store or whatever. There's a stack of cards in there, I'm telling you, oh my. And do they make it easy to give you credit? But look out. When you sign that name, and then you think, the credit is very easy to get. It's so easy. But look out when they start coming after you. Because I've heard horror stories. I heard one this morning from somebody close to me. A horror story. Somebody ordered, they weren't in the church, owed the Visa company $6,000. They just come along and closed out her account. Didn't notify her, didn't do anything. You think they can't do that? Well, sure they can. That's in their fine print. The ego says, forget it. Go ahead and buy it. If you want it, you deserve it. You worked 50 years in the sewer business. You deserve a new computer. My grandson took care of that for me. He brought it up yesterday, and oh, man, is that thing nice. Is that ever nice? Oh, my, oh, my. Oh, you can just, I mean, with my shaky finger, I can hit that dot, you know, and I can hit that dot, and a keyboard pops up on the screen, and oh, look at that. I can sit there and type on that. I don't have to be looking down here trying to figure out where the keys are and everything. But there's so much of that out there, you know. We overlook the part that says, you borrowed it, you got to pay it back, and you better prepare yourself if you don't, because these debt collectors are powerful. If you don't think so, let one of them get a hold of your debt. They have no mercy. They have no mercy. None whatsoever. Let's continue on from 1 Timothy 6. We're winding down to the bottom here. We're getting down to the bottom. What page am I? Oh, there I am. Okay, 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 through 10. Let's wind it down here a little bit now. Here, Timothy covers it. He says, 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 through 10. He says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, for some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I put something in here, I typed it in here. Godliness assures us that no matter what the ego tells us, we will be content. That's what I got out of that scripture. Godliness, if we're going to be godly people, be God-centered, allow the Word of God to guide us, it says, I got out of this scripture, godliness assures us that no matter what the ego tells us, we need, it tells us, we will be content. We will be content. The ego tells us not to be content. Remember that. Remember that. Your ego is telling you these things. I need it. I want it. But I don't need it that bad that I have to charge it. I'm not telling you how to manage your money, but in a way I suppose I am when it comes to credit cards. Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13. Somebody read this last week again. Keep saying that. It seems like everyone there have been read. Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13. You give me a minute, I'll clear my throat. What stops us from learning this concept is our ego. Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full, excuse me, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Now, this is a concept, and I believe it's all through the Bible when we talk about things and stuff. I go into the store, I don't forget where I was the other day, and I just thank God I live in America. I went in there, I was looking for bread or something. There are so many varieties and or whatever what I was looking for. Maybe it was this Polydent for my teeth or something, and there's all kinds of varieties. Why didn't you put a couple up there so you can make a decision? You have to go all the way down the line, and you're trying to look and see, and you're trying to read, and people are going by, and you're trying to figure out which one it is. We live in a nation that is stuffed with stuff. It is. It's just overflowing with junk. Talked to a guy yesterday over at the Y. He says, my children have so many toys, when I go out, I'll step on them. He says, and it wrecks my feet. I hurt myself. He says, one of these days, he says, I'm going to get rid of those toys, and they're going to be out on the curb. My brother did that. He says, I'm going to fool my wife. I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to get rid of all this junk she has and this stuff that she has for the grandkids. Put it out on the curb and it's going to be gone. He says it wasn't 6 months. Unbeknownst to me, there it was, one piece here, one piece there. We're so filled with stuff. We've got so much in our houses. I mean, oh my, I always go down the aisle and says, thank you, Father in heaven, that I live in America. Because we've been over to Poland where you go in for bread, you might see one loaf on the shelf. This was years ago. You might see one of this and one of that. Not in America. No, go in and flip that credit card out there and buy it. And if you want two or three, buy them. See the fallacy of that? See the stress that puts on us? I always say $5 here, $5 there, $10 here. It's like the internet or the TV. Well, if you buy this Big Ten network, that's only $10 a month. Well, if you buy this one here, you know, well, then that's only $10 a month. Before you're done, you're up to $100 a month, and you wonder what the heck you get for that. And then you sit at the end of the month grumbling because your bill is so high. Well, you charge 10 here, you charge 10 there. I always tell my children, this, buy a little safe. Just buy a little one. You can get those ones. They last an hour in a fire. And open it up, you get a couple bucks, throw it in there. Get them 10 bucks extra, hang in your pocket, throw it in there. Throw it in there. Learn to be content with what we have. Learn to be content. Please learn to be content with what we have because we have so much. The key to, I put here, the key is to get our minds off from self and on God. Off from self and on God. Keeps coming up in my thinking all the time. We do not have need to have physical things to make us happy and have less stress. Timothy says, what did he say? You brought nothing into the world, you're going to bring nothing out of the world. So no matter what we gather in this life, it's not going to follow us in that hearse out to Fort Snelling or wherever we're going. It's not going to be there. It's going to be gone. So pick up on a little balance and say, learn to be content like Paul did. We don't need stuff. And I'm not telling you that you shouldn't buy anything. I would never do that to you. I'm not saying that to you at all. Each of you has to make up your own mind what you want to buy. I don't even tell my kids that. They wouldn't listen to me anyway, so I wouldn't tell them that. All right, I have two psalms in my conclusion of this sermon. I have two psalms to read, and one of them is in Psalm 42. I want you to ask these questions in Psalm 42 and verse 11. And when you go through the day and you're stressed out and you think about it and you think about it, say, what did I hear last week in church about stress? Well, it would be God-centered people. When you read this Psalm 42 and verse 11, and I'm going to let the Word of God lead me and guide me in my directions and my what I should do and shouldn't do, and learn to be content. Learn to be content. Read this Psalm, Psalm 42, verse 11. And these are the last two scriptures, so Dan, you can get your songbook ready. Verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? My favorite memory scripture is this scripture. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Why are you all stressed out? What are you doing? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. This is a prayer we should ask on a regular basis. When we get to feeling like there's a lot of pressure, say, why am I cast down? Why am I this way? Why am I thinking that way? Psalm 61 is the last verse I want to read to you. Psalm 61, in verse 1 and 2. I heard a woman over at the Y tell me this the other day, the last part of this psalm. Psalm 61, verse 1 through 2. Hear my prayer, O God, and attend to my prayer. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. Verse 2. For from the end of the earth, I will cry to you. I will cry to you, God. I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, I will cry to you. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When I am overwhelmed, when the world is against me, when the world is about to do something to you, you become stressed, say, why do I feel this way? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Remember that, brethren.